Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Silk Laser Australia half year FY 2022 results call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Martin Perelman, Co-founder and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. Hello, everyone. Martin Perelman here, Managing Director and Co-founder, and I've got Ivan Jacques here, our CFO as well.
Good morning.
We'll just get straight into it. Everyone may have a copy of the slide deck. I'll be referring to each page on the slide as we talk about our half year results. First of all, we'll go straight into slide number two. Overall, we're really pleased with our first half year results, notwithstanding has been very challenging trading conditions with the changes of COVID rolling through over the last 7-8 months. I'll call out some of the highlights from the first half. Overall, our network cash sales were completed at 76.4 million dollars. That's up 70% on prior comparable period. Important to note, though, that includes the acquisition of the Australian Skin Clinics and Cosmetic Clinic business as well. Ivan will talk about how that breakdown is later in the presentation. Our revenue at head office increased to 40.5 million, 32% up on prior comparable period. Importantly, our EBITDA has increased to 12.7 million at the half year result, +20% on prior comparable period. We had a lot of closed trading days in that first six months. When we sort of normalize out and adjust for lost trading days, on a like-for-like basis, our business traded at +7%. We were, again, really pleased with that result, showing the underlying strength of our business when we're actually open and trading. Moving to slide number three. Obviously, with the acquisition of Australian Skin Clinics, integration is an important part of that business. We've done a slide here just to talk about where we're up to in that integration. We've broken it down in four categories. First and foremost is skincare. The Australian Skin Clinics skincare distribution is now integrated with Silk Laser's distribution. When we acquired ASC, we bought a skincare brand, and they had a separate head office and infrastructure that has been now fully integrated into our business. We've also begun the rollout of Aesthetics Rx Skincare, which is Silk's proprietary skincare, into the Australian Skin Clinics and the Cosmetic Clinic business. That will be completed by mid-March. Also we're now looking at rolling out the MediPen, which is the microneedling device, across the network. New Zealand is probably first off the rank, although we're still waiting for final approvals from the New Zealand TGA. We're also now continuing operational efficiencies. Finance and HR functions have now been completely combined. We're also now looking to upgrade our HRIS, finance, and point-of-sale systems for this half or this full year. First half or half two results estimates spend's gonna be between 1.5 million-2 million dollars to upgrade that system across the entire network. We're also reviewing the full injectables procurement basis, and we're looking at rolling out injectables across that business for this half of this year, and we should have a standardized range across the entire business. We're also upgrading all of our dashboards. The use of Power BI, that has been a big part of Silk's success, is giving our clinics live data. We have now rolled out similar dashboards to the Australian Skin Clinics network, and we're now seeing that become uniform across the business. Moving over to slide number four. As I mentioned earlier, we have quite a lot of difficulty in lost trading days, and it's been a challenging period as COVID has gone through another phase across the country. This slide, you can see two key charts. The first one shows our weekly sales, and you can see the strong rebound. This sort of aligns with our weekly days traded. You can see as we went into lockdowns, obviously our weekly sales diminished down. As you can see, they rebounded very, very strongly when the business started to reopen up. Again, it really shows that underlying strength that when we're open and trading, business is very strong and the demand for our services are very strong in the network. Just gonna now pass over to Ivan, who'll talk about slide number six onwards.
Thank you, Martin. I can just turn you to that slide six, please. As you can see, we've had a very good result for the half, with the pro forma EBITDA up 20%. That's been driven by the growth in network cash sales, which is a very strong performance, including the underlying growth, like-for-like growth of 7%. Reported revenue is up 32% overall, with 15 points of that 32% coming from ASC, and the balance is coming from Silk's organic growth. So that's very pleasing. You can see that the franchise fees there have more than doubled. We've also, the cost of doing business has remained about static, and they got a strong overall result versus the prior comparable period, up $2.1 million, including the $1.3 million contribution from ASC. If I turn you to the next page, if you recall, we at June 21, we had just completed the fundraising of $20 million placement for the ASC business. So we had a very strong cash position at that time in anticipation of the acquisition, which was completed at the end of August 21. So we obviously, the balance sheet changed reflecting that acquisition, both the cash position moving and the movement in the assets and liabilities reflecting the acquisition of ASC. But as you can see, we're still in a strong cash position with $23.9 million on the balance sheet. We now have a debt facility of $22.5 million drawn out of a total acquisition facility of $30 million. We've got net cash of $1.5 million, so virtually zero leverage, and in a good position to make further investments as good opportunities arise. The trade receivables grew and inventory grew in line with the growth of the business and the acquisition of ASC, and also reflecting the fact we've got more of our own products now that we're distributing across our network. Other receivables grew mainly as a reflection of ASB 16 and the fact that we have subleases to our franchisees, particularly in the ASC network. And you can see the growth of intangibles, goodwill, and other intangibles, again, reflecting the ASC acquisition. I'll move you to the next slide, the cash flow slide. As you can see, strong cash flow in the half, cash conversion of 97% versus the EBITDA. A little bit lower than last time, but we didn't have the benefit of government grants, and we had higher tax and interest payments. So the overall, you can still, we do convert our profits into cash. Then you can see overall free cash, $9.3 million, again, strong position, generating good cash in the half. And overall, the net cash flow was $21 million outbound, which reflects the acquisition. As you can see, we had $30 million of cash expended on the financing, on the acquisition and the related costs associated with that. I'll just then turn you to the next slide.
Slide 10,
which just gives you a summary, and we've also got at the back of the slide deck an appendix with more detail around this. But I know it's something our investors have been keen to see, a little bit more detail about the revenues and performance of each of the ownership types. As you probably know, Silk has got various ownership types in the consolidated group, which we report within our consolidated results. We have the corporate clinics and the joint venture clinics that are 75% owned, so they're within our consolidation. And then we have the 50-50 clinics, which are associates, treated as associate companies in the accounts. And then we have the traditional franchises where we have no ownership and we earn our return through franchise fees. So you can just see there a summary of the changing landscape of Silk as we bought the ASC network. We're now much stronger on the eastern seaboard, particularly in Victoria. Given us, we've got some very, very good clinics there. We're stronger in New South Wales with the addition of the ASC clinics there. And that we're into New Zealand as well, where we've got a good business which has been trading very healthily post the rebound and the opening up. So I can now pass you back to Martin for the next slide, which I think is slide 11.
Thanks, Adam. So if we look to slide 11, this is really about the customer. You can see that over the last 4 years, our customer average client spend has increased significantly from $444 in 2018 now to $595. So it has increased consistently year on year as our service mix continues to change at our clinic and clients are spending more and getting a larger share of wallet at the clinic. Also, our number of customers treated year on year is increasing as well, going from 62,000 clients treated in 2018 now to 170,000 in 2021. Overall, in Silk Clinic's total customer base, we're now at 414,000. And excitingly as well, our NPS is continuing to climb. We're now at an average of 81 NPS across the network, and that would be with, and that's with in excess of 20,000 respondents being surveyed. Moving to the next slide, slide 12, this is a bit of a call out of our different key categories. Cosmetic injectables, again, continues to be our number one revenue driver and our fastest growth category in our business. Over 57,000 treatments and consultations were performed across the Silk clinics in the first half, up 7% on prior comparable period. We now have more injected nurses added across our network, and we now have in excess of 200 nurses across the entire network. That's across Australia and New Zealand. Body contouring is our fastest growth category in the network, and it's got very strong tailwinds. We've now rolled Cool Sculpting out across 45 Silk clinics, and we're now in preparation for the rollout of body devices in the Australian Skin Clinics network for 2022. Skincare, as mentioned earlier, that is a fastest, that's a very fast, strong growth category, especially digitally. In Adore, sales are up 248% on prior comparable period. And we've also acquired the Balance Skincare brand, which brings three brands into our portfolio. We've added five new products to our range, including a new TGA sunscreen technology where vitamin D can get through. It's been very, very well received in our network. Laser hair removal and skin treatments are also performing well. Total clients treated across the network for Silk are 7% up on prior comparable period, and we're also on track to roll out five new skin services and launch and relaunch different facials across our network in the second half. So again, very pleased with all of the categories, and inject and body still seem to be the fastest growth. Slide 13 talks about our digital presence. Digital presence continues to be our key focus, and we're continuing to invest in this category. Social media following now over 115,000, up 3% on prior period, and our average online order is also up 8% as well, so again, growing. I think, as mentioned in my last presentation, we are focusing on the new headless e-commerce website. That was meant to be launched in December, but due to a few further investments, it's now on launch, on trial to be launched March 10th is the approximate date. So we're in the last week before we're launching. That'll be a very exciting path, and we should see a stronger ROI on digital. And this will, we're also looking at further investing in Power BI and the back-end websites to give a further data insights and benchmarking, especially focusing on things like client churn, so ensuring the clients have a great service and stay within the network. You can also see on the chart there the growth of online sales year on year, and also website visits are continuing to grow. So we believe the e-commerce transaction and digital presence is the key part of our growth story moving forward. Moving to slide 15. So how are we looking for the back half of this year? Look, both Delta and Omicron COVID have presented challenges, but I do have to really reward and say congratulations to my operations team on how they've managed to navigate through a very challenging set of trading conditions. You know, in January and February, with the rollout of Omicron, it's not been clean lockdowns, but has been rolling sort of partial lockdowns. But again, we're managing quite well. As you can see there, our total network cash sales have got a 7% growth, and our like-for-like is just above flat at 1% growth as well. So performing very, very well. We're really pleased with the solid start to the year, given the impact of lost trading days and also staffing reductions due to close contact. There's been a 12% average reduction across our network in the January period, and also cancellations due to close contacts as well. We're on track to open two new clinics in this half, which will bring us in line with that sort of average of 5 to 10 new clinics a year. And also, we're looking at rolling out further body devices, as mentioned, across the Australian Skin Clinics network. After this, that's sort of the end of our presentation. We've got a list of appendixes as well for you guys to reference at your own leisure when you want. But I'll just pass back to Melanie now to look for there might be any Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Olivia Salmon with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good morning, guys. On a personal note, thanks very much for including slide 18, that summary of the clinic ownership and accounting. That makes things a lot clearer for us. And just a question on that. Are you able to provide more details on the franchise revenue? Are there different structures for the Australian franchisees versus the New Zealand franchisees?
There is a different arrangement between Australia and New Zealand. With the Australian clinics, they're all pretty much on obviously Silk is the stroke ASC is the franchisor, and all the franchise fees are paid directly to Silk. So there's a similar arrangement across the board. There's some slight variations in the level of franchisees paid. And the joint ventures pay an administration fee of about $40,000 per year to Silk for managing their accounts and their payroll and their back office. But by and large, the franchise fees are sort of in the range of 8 to 10%. In the New Zealand franchise network, we have effectively a head franchisee in that country who manages directly on the ground the franchise network. And they keep 65%, or two-thirds of the fees, and Silk keeps, ASC keeps a third. So there's a split arrangement there on the franchise fees.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. And in terms of the revenue from the franchisees, about $6.1 million. I don't suppose you have handy how much the ASC and New Zealand franchisees contributed to that uplift in the franchisee revenue?
It's not something we're disclosing. I mean, we've actually disclosed the level of franchisee fees in that relate to the ASC business. So I think that's obviously in my slide.
Yep.
I'm trying to recall the amount that relates to, it'd be about, roughly about a third of that relates to the New Zealand network.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you very much. And if I may, just one other question. Just wondering, are you expecting any cost out from the ASC acquisition? I understand that so far you've sort of run the businesses separately in terms of, you know, doubling up on head office costs and things. And I know that in the slides at the beginning of the pack, you talked about integration of the two businesses and uplift from skincare products and operational efficiencies, et cetera. But just wondering if you're also thinking about cost out?
Look, we are. Our key focus for this sort of 6 to 12 months is really the operational synergies first and foremost. We potentially will look at labour synergies, especially at a clinic level, obviously not having multiple trainers, not having multiple area managers focusing on the same geographical regions. So, you know, we're moving through different departments and seeing how we can integrate the businesses, but also being very respectful to the Australian Skin Clinic's infrastructure that they have. But as we sort of start to integrate over over the first 6 months where the quick wins have been, and then we start to integrate the back half, there'll be naturally some labour synergies as well.
Okay, terrific. And just on that, with the introduction of the ARX skincare range into ASC clinics, did you replace the Ultraceuticals brand that was already in the ASC clinics, or is it in addition to?
At the moment, so in New Zealand, I'll work through by different geographies. So in New Zealand, they did not have Ultraceuticals. So it was just an addition to. So they only had Balance and ARX became the premium brand there. In the Australian Skin Clinics network, it was in addition to. Notwithstanding, as we sort of get that brand integrated into the Australian Skin Clinics network, we will look at the range of Ultraceuticals and whether that can be reduced down to a much more tighter range. But that will be probably phase two of the first and foremost was rolling out the ARX and really getting the franchisees and staff to enjoy the brand and let that brand stand on its own 2 feet. But so Ultraceuticals will potentially be reduced and then we'll sort of go from there.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, guys. I'll pop back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ross Curran with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. I've just got a question about the AHC network. So this is on slide six. It seems that the AHC network like-for-like sales growth 15% was really strong. Are you able to give us a feel for staff retention, how that acquisition is working? It seems actually to be doing better than the SLA network to begin with, but just a bit of colour, that would be great.
Yeah, hi, Ross. Yeah, I can answer that one. I think geographical location also has impacted the like-for-like growth. So what I mean by that is if you think about the Australian Skin Clinics network, a big portion of their business was in New South Wales and Victoria and New Zealand as well. Now, they had a much stronger lockdown during that July through September period. We took over the business on September 1st and the AC network was pretty well completely closed. But when they sort of reopened up from October onwards, they had a very, very strong rebound, notwithstanding the market or the business had been closed for almost 3 months. If you look about the Silk network, it was a little bit more resilient to closures because our strength is in SA, Northern Territory, WA, which didn't have those sort of big delta closures. So we had a much more consistent set of growth where ASC, when we took over, had the really strong rebound. They've also been a little bit more strongly affected from Omicron in the January period, but they seem to have come out the back of that now. The staff retention's okay, but ASC numbers are a little bit stronger due to the stronger rebound from the closures.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Gerges with Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, guys. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Yes, Michael.
Great. Thanks very much. Just a few questions, if I may. Just commencing on the gross margin. You know, clearly a little bit down on the prior period, but you know, obviously except the fact that it's driven by, you know, higher value and absolute dollar categories like body and injectables. Just wondering how we should be thinking about that gross margin now moving forward in terms of where you think steady state would be.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, you're right. Versus the H2, it's a little bit of a step down, but it is very much in line. In fact, just a touch better than the first half last year. We're definitely seeing the increase in market in sort of overall share from the injectables. So that's grown, and we're obviously seeing body growing. So those have a higher level of COGS. So it's really about the sales mix, and we probably expect body to continue and injectables to continue growing as a share of our overall revenues. So we probably see it around the level that we've reported in this period, if not possibly coming down a little bit further. But obviously the dollar value of those treatments is much higher than the dollar value in laser hair and skincare. So and skin treatment. So it's a positive thing because we're actually seeing a lot higher customer spend, and it tends to be recurring spend as well. So we might see a slight further degradation in that margin.
Probably over 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, probably less than 2 points I would expect. Yeah.
But pretty close.
Yeah.
Great, thanks, guys. No, that's very clear. You know, obviously given the higher value of those two services, it's clearly in terms of cash is better overall. And just in terms of at the time of the acquisition for ASC, I think you got it to 16 mil in terms of revenue you expect for the full year of ownership. It'd be great to sort of get a sense from you of that 16 mil, what proportion you think would be attributable to franchisee revenue.
Yeah, so franchisee fees, I'm just trying to recall I think it was somewhere in the region of about 6 or 7, I think, of franchise fees directly. But there's also, we've now integrated, I mean, by the end of the year, we will be fully integrated because we've integrated the skincare business already. But it will be primarily the franchise fees and the revenues arising from the small number of corporate and also the JV clinics. But yeah, I think it's 4 year. I'll come back to you with a bit more detail on that. But I think it's about 6 or 7 million on the franchise fees.
But we can send you an email on that, Michael, if you like.
Yeah, great. Thanks, gents. And just in terms of how you're thinking about the revenue exposure risk in WA as, you know, as Omicron cases, you know, rise and peak and so on, has that sort of been a bit of an impact or what are your sort of expectations there?
Yeah, it's a good question, Michael. Look, at the moment, if I think about January and February so far, New South Wales and Victorian clinics were impacted in January and probably half of February and seem to have come out the back of it sort of middle of Feb. South Australia was impacted quite heavily in the first half of Jan, pretty the whole of Jan, it sort of came out of the back of it and seems to be okay. Queensland's still a little bit impacted, although now there's an extra layer of impact with the floods that are happening at the moment. So then the big question is how it's going to happen with WA. So look, if we think about what happened across the other states, impact has been around 6 to 8 weeks before it comes back to sort of steady state trading, although we are still experiencing that. So we're sort of forecasting that when WA opens up in sort of early to mid-March, I would think there'd be about 8 to 10 weeks of impacted trading. Across our network, we're seeing between around roughly 12% loss in labour, and then you're overlaying that's due to the close contacts, and then you're overlaying, obviously, customer close contacts as well. So, yeah, again, it's a bit of a finger-in-the-air point of view, but we're sort of thinking around, you know, 2 to 3 months of impacted trading at partial capacity.
And from memory, I think, was that about 10% of revenues, thereabouts, WA? Or was it
a bit...
Sorry, the AFCWA?
Network
Silk WA.
Yeah, it's for Silk because we own most of the clinics, obviously in WA. It's our second largest state by revenue, so I think it's about 25 mil, something like that.
For the full year,
20, 25 mil in that range, yeah.
Great, that's really helpful. Thanks, guys. And then just finally, if I can sneak in a last one. Just in terms of OPEX, and just wondering whether there's been any sort of deferred costs in this half that you're expecting in sort of the next half, excluding obviously that 1.5 that you mentioned earlier, Marty. Do we expect anything further there?
So when you say deferred OPEX,
was there any sort of, you know, head office or other costs that were discretionary in the period?
I think, look, we'll still continue to roll out body machinery in the corporate and JV network, but that's not going to be too significant, probably under a mil. We've got the two clinics opening. One of those will be, that's not OPEX, that's CAPEX. So it's not really significant, apart from the investment in our HRIS and finance system. That's probably our most significant impact. There's nothing really else that jumps out, Michael, that is of significant value.
Great. Thanks very much, guys, and thanks for the disclosure in the deck. It's very helpful.
Great. Pleasure, Michael.
Cheers.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from Olivia Salmon with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, guys. Just in terms of the rollout program, I understand previously you flagged that you're thinking about doing greenfields expansion given you've already acquired the ASC network. But just wondering if you would consider more M&A to speed up your rollout program and achieve the footprint you're after in one hit?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, definitely. We're looking at both opportunities. So if I think about the growth opportunities, really the main states where the growth opportunities will come will be New Zealand. Now, that's going to mainly be greenfields. There aren't really many M&A opportunities. Victoria, there potentially are a few M&A opportunities there, but we're also looking at rolling out some clinics in that state. But we may look at doing a couple of smaller acquisitions there. And then last is probably New South Wales. That's probably our weakest market. We've got 23 clinics there. I do foresee an opportunity there for further M&A, and that would help further consolidate the market. So sort of without giving too much, we're going to be looking at both opportunities, both greenfields and M&A opportunities. New South Wales is probably the most akin to an M&A opportunity, where Vic in New Zealand is probably more greenfield opportunities. But we'll look at them all, and if they are suitable, then we would obviously execute against that.
Okay, great. And then if you do achieve that footprint, sooner than expected, would that then accelerate your desire to expand overseas?
Yeah, look, I think international is an opportunity we are definitely starting to look at. The overseas opportunity, as we look at becoming global, is something that the board and myself and our senior team are very interested in. Obviously, it's important for us to get the integration with ASC correct first, and then obviously continue. They'll probably run in parallel, Olivia, to be honest with you. Is if we see an opportunity with overseas and we see an opportunity to do a smaller based M&A in Australia and New Zealand, we would probably look at running them in parallel, because, you know, we're not going to probably do another significant M&A in the foreseeable future, but there might be smaller ones of 2 to 10 clinic opportunities as well. So I definitely see both of them running potentially in parallel.
Great. And just one final one from me. I know that in the deck you mentioned that you treated 170,000 customers. Do you have a breakdown of returning customers versus new customers?
I don't have that on me, but we can email that to you on what the number of new clients was on that 170. That's not a problem. So as an action item, Olivia, I'll get that through to you, no problem.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Melissa Benson with Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi, Marty. Hi, Ivan.
Hi.
I just had a question, and apologies if I've missed it. Just around the online side of the business, and, mm-hmm. you know, we noted the new platform will be launching in March. Firstly, you know, the online side kind of got that boost during COVID, where people were kind of pre-buying while they're locked down. And
yes.
That obviously some of that was still in the first half. Is there still quite a lot of that pre-bought online to kind of be recognised in the second half? Or, well, that's part one. But then the second part is really, are you still seeing a similar cadence of online purchasing into
yes.
kind of the second half?
Yeah, great question. Look, we're definitely still seeing the people that have pre-bought treatments during the first half now redeeming those treatments in the second half, which does set us up for a strong EBITDA result in the back half, assuming we can stay open and trade. Now, mm-hmm. it's important to note, Mel, that injectables we don't allow to be purchased online, but hair, skin and body are the categories that we do allow to be purchased online. With the new e-commerce site, we'll also be adding skincare to the Silk Laser website as well. At the moment, skincare was only on its own individual websites, not on the Silk website. What we're seeing is a real significant change in how the consumer interacts with the clinics. We have a live chat functionality on our website, and we find that the consumer now, instead of calling clinics, will start to interact through live chat, and that they're transacting really at evenings between 6 and 10 p.m. at night. So we're continuing to focus on that e-commerce structure, especially around the hair, skin and body. So we're foreseeing that that will continue to grow. The e-commerce site, you know, we've probably invested close to $250,000.
Yeah.
And obviously this is all built around user experience. So ensuring that the customer has a seamless user experience through the way they interact on the website, through having a conversion. Our conversion for us might be clicking on a phone number, clicking on an email, making a booking or purchasing. But the main focus was coming from the purchasing outlet. So we expect that online transactions for hair, skin and body, and now skincare, will continue to increase period on period as a percentage of our total network sales.
And to confirm, that online site is just for the Silk part of the network and not ASC, correct?
Yeah, so the beautiful thing on having a headless e-commerce site is the infrastructure is built so that then it can be reskinned and used for other businesses. So the first launch will be with Silk, and then ASC will take that back-end infrastructure and then look at reskinning it with the ASC wordings, colouring schemes, all those type of items. And then we would obviously look at doing that for New Zealand potentially as well. So it'd be the same back end, but then skin to the specific market. So that's why it's important to have this headless e-commerce, because it can be reskinned. So ASC will start that process probably from late March onwards with the same back end that we've built over the last 8 months.
Got it. Okay. And one follow-up question was just around the New Zealand market. You know, you noted that's kind of an engine, it could be a potential engine for growth for the business, and
yep.
that there was kind of limited M&A over there in
yes.
terms of, you know, greenfields is really the opportunity. Can you just kind of remind us of the competitive dynamics over there? Is it because there's kind of very limited networks of scale and it's kind of single
yep.
operators, or there's kind of just
yeah.
one large competitor and that's it?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the network at the moment. So you're exactly right, is New Zealand is probably 3 to 4 years behind Australia in regards to its competitive landscape. If I think about the competitive landscape, you've got the cosmetic clinic that has 15 clinics, which is our network, and they've got another 3 to 4 opening this year that'll get sort of 20. We think the network opportunity in New Zealand is circa 25 to 30. But you're starting to get into smaller geographical catchments. You've got Laser Clinics New Zealand, or Laser Clinics Australia, their New Zealand arm. They've got around 18 clinics as well, I think, within a couple of that. So you're sort of that 15 to 20 mark. They've probably got the same sort of quantum that they think the market will see, but, you know, that's what we believe. You've got one other major player called Caci, C-A-C-I. They've got probably circa 50 plus, I don't know exactly the number, but they've been around for a long time, but they've got a variety of size clinics, and that's really it. Apart from that, we've got a couple of clear skins here and there. I'm not sure how many they've got, probably under 5, so there's not a lot of opportunity, with the exception of KC, but that's a significant size. There's not a lot of smaller M&A.
Got it. And the New Zealand part of the network, I know you don't kind of break that out separately, but I guess how has it behaved like for like compared to, say, the Australian portion, just qualitatively?
Yeah, look, New Zealand has been a very strong part of the business. So as Ivan mentioned, we only receive a third of the revenue there of the franchise fees, and the master franchisor receives 2/3. They also went through a significant lockdown in half one. Especially Auckland region was closed up until probably early December, and they had partial openings in late November and then opened in early December. They saw significant rebound when they opened up outside of Auckland region in second quarter, and then Auckland had sort of a very strong rebound in that month of December and January. Very, very similar sort of service mix in rebound, injectables in particular being a very strong rebound and growing very well. That business sort of averages, you know, that sort of circa 1.8 million a year, and it's growing very, very well. So we're really pleased with how New Zealand is performing.
Right. So you do expect, given that, you know, Auckland being a key centre that's kind of been locked up, there's still that a lot of that rebound to be recognised in this half?
It's a good question, Mel. What we found is that rebound sort of lasted in Australia between 4 to 6 weeks. So we're probably through the back end of that now. They're going through the same type of challenges we're going through with Omicron, with close contact. So that sort of offsets a little bit of the rebound, because you're then offsetting that against close contacts and closures and customers reducing. So it's not sort of as clean as sort of when Delta was coming through, we had a clean opening and closing and a strong rebound. These partial lockdowns will impact rebound. So I wouldn't probably factor in to your forecasting any further rebounds.
Got it. Thank you so much, both.
Thanks, Mel.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Perelman for closing remarks.
Thank you, Melanie. Look, overall, guys, thank you so much for dialing in. We're really pleased with our first half year results under what was challenging trading conditions. We're working through the new challenges that Omicron is setting, but the operations team are working really well through that. We're excited to see where the business will go in this second half, and we feel we're on track to have a strong full year result. Thank you once again, and look forward to presenting to you guys later in the year.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.